Come on.
Quick ask before we get started today. I am working to help people lead happier and more contented lives. My part of that is money. So if you enjoyed today's episode, or if you've enjoyed past episodes, please take a minute and leave a quick review on iTunes. Subscribe. That helps the show climb up the rankings and helps more people find it. So thanks a lot. Welcome to Money Savage, Savage Approach to Personal Finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, the strong and powerful Rob Stevens. Rob, are you ready to do this?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, George.
You bet. Let's do this. Rob is the co-founder and GM of Avalara, My Tax Lodge, the leading tax compliance solution for the vacation rental industry. I'm excited to have you on. Rob, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, personal life, you know, we're located here in Greenwood Village, Colorado, which is a suburb of the Denver area. You know, big lifelong skier, you know, married, two kids who are both in college now. So that's lots of fun.
Nice.
You know, maybe a little bit older than most of your audience. But, you know, being a lifelong skier, you know, those of us that are big skiers here on the Front Range, aspirationally, you know, one of the things I think everyone wants to do is own a second home in the mountains. And that's really kind of, you know, my backstory. That's how I got into this, is we bought a place in Vail almost 20 years ago now. And it was really through that experience of making that investment, putting it on the short-term rental market, and then kind of managing it myself, managing it by owner, and coming across these sales and lodging taxes in that process, I realized, you know, one, it was a very powerful way to rent your property very, very kind of cost effectively and economically. You know, and now there's millions of people doing this on platforms like, you know, Airbnb and Vrbo and HomeAway just in the US alone. So, you know, it was really through that experience that we started a company to fully automate and make complying with these taxes very simple for people that want to be involved in short-term rentals. So it's really through my own personal experience and recognizing a need and a need in the marketplace for some sort of solution to this, because it's very powerful, very easy now to rent your property on a short-term basis, generating rent on these platforms. You know, taking care of these taxes, one of the kind of the back office annoying things you need to do, and it was really kind of recognizing that what's going on in the marketplace is why we kind of jumped in and started this company.
Nice. Well, I certainly appreciate that. And anytime somebody can have a personal experience and recognize a problem or an opportunity and then actually take the steps to solve set problem or reach opportunity, I always very much respect that. So how important is it to really understand these taxes? Is it the same as I need to make sure that I understand my income taxes, or is it worse? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, great question. And I think, you know, part of the issue, at least historically in the short-term rental market, is these taxes. There's been a lot of confusion. So really, if you're renting a property on a short-term basis anywhere in the U.S., you basically have to collect and pay the same taxes that a hotel would. And I think the challenge is, you know, most people that are in the short-term rental market or on Airbnb, they've just never really dealt with this before. So, you know, and I think to your question, I actually think it's more important than income taxes, because, you know, rental properties, whether it's long-term and certainly in the short-term market, you know, I think most of our customers, what we've learned over time is they're, you know, they purchased an asset, you know, they're trying to generate rent on that asset, but usually they're not covering all their operating costs or their mortgage. It's subsidizing maybe a part or a significant part of it. So on an income tax basis, not to get too, you know, technical or wonky here, but on an income tax basis, what we've seen is most of these rental properties are kind of net loss, especially after depreciation and things like that. Whereas these hotel taxes or sales and lodging taxes, that's a tax on the gross rent you collect. There's not really any deduction. So if you're charging, you know, so if you bring in $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year in short-term rent, These taxes are typically 10 to 12% around the U.S. So that's another, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 that you're supposed to collect and pay to these different state and local agencies. So we actually believe, you know, these taxes are more significant and more important for people that are they're involved in short-term rentals than income taxes, because it is such a significant liability. And like I said, I think most rental properties, you know, that's a tax on net income. And I think a lot of rental properties, that's part of the beauty of real estate, is you can own these assets and not have, you know, taxable income in a lot of instances. But the but these hotel taxes, again, it's a tax on the gross rent. So it can be a surprise to people and it can be a meaningful liability.
No kidding. That would be like any kind of tax issues. You get down to the end of the year and it's time to write a check or not, and your tax professional or whoever's doing it comes to you and says, oh, you know what? We need a check for $5,000 because we did not factor in the lodging tax. That would be very, very unpleasant. So, all right. Now,
let's
go ahead.
Jump in and clarify. So, you know, the tax you collect from your guest, and most, it's like hotels or rental cars. I mean, these hotel taxes, lodging taxes, it's a tax on the traveler. Travelers are going to pretty much expect to pay it. So your obligation is really to charge the correct tax collected from them. So I always like to make the point, this isn't really coming out of your pocket. You know, it's kind of a nuisance and burden. You got to collect it from your guests. And, it, you know, it certainly does increase the cost of what they're paying. But that's kind of another, you know, point I try to make to people. This isn't coming out of your pocket. You know, your guest will pay this to you as long as you collect it. Your job is just, you know, pay it on the right forms, on the right dates to the correct agencies. And we certainly, that's part of obviously what we solve. So I just wanted to make that point.
No, I certainly appreciate that. And I'm glad that you did. So, all right. Now, is this something that I just don't know the answer to the question. So when people buy a vacation property that they want to rent, or a rental property, whatever, and they put it on Airbnb or VRBO, do a lot of people think that those platforms are going to be helping them take care of this?
Yeah, George, that's a great question. And that's really part of what we've seen in the last couple of years. You know, I would say, you know, we've been doing this a long time. And 10 years ago, nobody was really thinking about these taxes.
Right.
But I think starting really 2 or 3 years ago, the platforms, particularly Airbnb, jumped in and started paying a lot of these taxes themselves. VRBO went down a similar path, started a similar program a couple years ago. But I think to the average person using these platforms, it's not always clear what taxes are being paid by the platform. I think there's a lot of confusion along the lines, like you just mentioned. I think a lot of people think, well, I just assume, or based on what I've read or heard, that the platform is taking care of this. And the reality is the platform usually is not, or what's very common is the platform will be paying state taxes, but not the additional city and county taxes that are very common in the, in the sale lodging world. So it's actually created some more confusion. But that's an excellent point that I do think people, because of they're hearing this messaging about Airbnb paying tax, Vrbo paying tax, they just automatically assume it's being paid. And that's certainly not the case.
Got it. Assumption can get us in trouble. All right. So I think that would be, it's one of those things that we certainly just need to figure out. And in terms of just the regulations, or rather the taxes, how have those changed over the past, just since the inception of these sites, or have they?
Yeah, I don't think they really have changed. I mean, I always say something like, when I'm talking about this to people or friends, you know, these taxes have really been around forever. And these taxes were really designed to tax hotels and inns and motels. But, you know, when you read the statutes, like we do all across the country, you know, these taxes apply to really any kind of lodging, including short-term rentals. So I don't think the taxes have necessarily changed. I think what's happened is what was a very niche industry. Certainly, you know, I got into this, you know, I put my property on VRBO in 1999, and it was very much kind of an off-the-beaten-path, off-the-radar niche industry. Now, certainly, you know, vacation rentals aren't. We've all probably been to ski towns or beach towns and stayed in rental homes. But offering those kind of by owner on the on an internet website is certainly new, and I think that's been the change. Is it's become very easy for people, whether it's their apartment they're renting or they actually purchase an asset like a second home, it's become very easy to do this. And so I think short-term rentals have really become kind of gone from kind of a niche part of the travel world to really mainstream. It's really ubiquitous now. So the taxes haven't changed. I just think the industry has grown up. And I think everyone's realized, like, wow, you know, these taxes now apply. And so there's this kind of national debate around certainly regulations and land use and how do we want to regulate short-term rentals. But certainly taxes are part of that. So, you know, nothing has really changed with respect to tax laws, although there, you know, look, there are some markets, some cities and states that have specifically targeted short-term rentals for additional taxes, and we're seeing an increase of that. But it's really more about the industry's kind of grown up and matured to being a small little thing to being a very large thing, and the relevance of taxes has become a big deal.
Got it. So you mentioned that the state is expecting tax revenue, the city is expecting tax revenue. Who are the other entities or jurisdictions, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, that's really the complexity of sales, or one of the complexities of sales and lodging taxes. It's what we call state and local taxes. So, you know, in most locations across the U.S., there's a state tax, and then there's very often city and county taxes in addition. Sometimes when you get into resort areas or big cities, there's also, and people may have some familiarity with this, you get into, you know, transportation districts, tourism authorities, you know, stadium districts, you know, these types of taxes are prone to fund, you know, sometimes airport development, all kinds of different things. So there's sometimes special districts as well. But by and large, it's really just, you know, starts at the state level plus city and county. And part of the problem is in California, for instance, there is no state tax. It's only a city or county tax. Whereas, like in Florida, it's a state and county tax, or in South Carolina, it's a city, county, and state tax. So it varies all over the U.S. I mean, the basic advice I give, you know, people obviously that's what we solve. They can come to us if they want to kind of figure out these requirements on their own. Just make sure you check with all three levels of government: city, county, and state.
Got it. Okay. So who have you found are the most common users of your service? Is it people that have one property? Is it people that have 20? Is it people who just hate taxes?
Well, you got to find me the segment that loves taxes.
Right. Probably, right. Sorry.
We can talk about it. But I think, you know, George, historically, because we were kind of the rent by owner people with one property ourselves, that's where we really started the business. And that was the focus of the product, is providing a very, very simple, affordable solution. I mean, our service costs $20 a month. And just by the way, you know, these taxes are due monthly, typically, sometimes quarterly. So it's not like income tax where it's the end of the year. There's these filings that have to be done, you know, every month and quarter to different agencies. But, you know, because of that, we started this to provide a very simple and affordable solution for kind of the rent by owner crowd. Those are typically people with one property. But as time has gone on, especially over the last two or three years, we've seen our business really grow and change. And I think that kind of rent by owner person, or somebody that's on Airbnb or Vrbo with one property, is still our core. We've seen a ton of growth in what we say, what we would describe as more commercial operators. You know, some of the big, you know, branded guys, Sonder and Lyric, you know, Expedia, Vrbo actually uses, Homeaway and Vrbo actually use our service to pay any tax in the U.S. You know, extended stay hotels. We've seen hotel chains come in, and really all we're doing is applying technology against kind of a complicated back office problem, which is managing these taxes. And so while we think we have a really strong solution for that very small user, what we've learned over time is even larger organizations are really struggling to stay on top of this issue, or certainly see value in the technology that we've applied against this problem to make it, you know, hopefully very simple and efficient.
Got it. Well, I appreciate simplicity and efficiency very much. And I think you mentioned automation. And whenever something's a problem, if you can make it a process, then it's probably less likely to be a problem. So do you have thoughts, maybe tips or advice that can help people to automate their vacation rental?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I've lived it. I've been, like I said, I've been on VRBO since 1999 with my home here, my you know, mountain property here in Colorado. And it's certainly changed a lot. And really, at this point, I think a starting point is people just need to avail themselves of the tools that are available on the big websites like Airbnb and VRBO. Like, you know, now it's instant booking. It's all linked in with credit card payments. You know, the calendars are connected and updated. You know, certainly, you know, our service is offered as a way to stay on top of taxes. But I think the big platforms have invested a lot of dollars over the years to make this simpler and simpler. So just starting with what and kind of embracing some of the tools and processes they use is a great place to start.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate that. And I guess that's sort of an obvious question that I should have asked you is, what are your thoughts on those big platforms? Are they of value to somebody that is just has the one property?
Yes, I mean, absolutely. My personal experience is, and let's I guess rewind the story a little bit. You know, 20 years ago, even 15 years ago, if you had a second home and you wanted to rent it in some of these resort markets or, you know, beach markets, you know, you generally had to hire a local property manager, and they would charge you, you know, a commission ranging from 20 to 50% of gross rent to do that. And so I think what the internet technology, what these big websites have done, has put a lot of the power back into people that want to manage their own property and do it very cost effectively. Look, some people still want a property manager. We love property managers. We have lots of them as customers. And, you know, some people don't want to deal with the hassle and headache of kind of managing their own property. But certainly as an owner, and I've been doing this for 20 years, you know, I will tell you, putting it on the platforms we've mentioned, you're pretty easily going to reach a global travel audience and people that want to book your home. And there's all kinds of demand out there for, you know, studio apartments, you know, 10 bedroom luxury homes. It's, you know, when I reflect back on it, it's amazing to see the level of kind of change and demand. But you know, certainly getting started, using those big platforms as a tool to connect with travelers to generate rent is an absolutely a great way to start and a great way to do it.
Excellent. Well, Rob, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
You know, it my difference-making tip is really, you know, maybe two-part, but you know, short-term rentals. When I started, I was very, you know, I wanted to own a second home, but I wasn't sure how to do it. And I think the biggest pieces of advice I have is just jump in. You know, take action. And I'm certainly glad I did. You know, 20 years ago, and it's been a really good kind of real estate investment and certainly learning experience relative to our company. So it's in short-term rental. There's, you know, sometimes people worry about the wear and tear on the type of guest. You know, my experience is it's typically a professional traveler or family. These people have disposable income. They're going to be very respectful of your property. But my basic tip is, if you're thinking about it, do some analysis. Don't be shy. Just jump in and embrace it. Short-term rentals are a great way to kind of generate some income for these properties.
Well, that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
Rob, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you, and how can they engage with Avalara?
Sure. So the best place would be our website, which is mylodgetax.com. You know, there's information about our services there. If people want to call or shoot us an email, all our contact is on the website. So again, that's just mylodgetax.com.
Excellent. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Rob your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to mylodgetax.com. Check out the great resources and the very valuable service that they offer. Thanks again, Rob.
All right. Thanks so much, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together. Before I go, quick announcement. I've been asked by so many people over the past couple of years about, how do I start a podcast? That I've developed and released a course that will teach you exactly how to do that step by step, from figuring out the kind of show that you want to have to understanding how all the technology works behind it, and then how to get great guests and keep the thing moving and how to grow it. So if you're interested in that, check it out. You can go to georgegrumbacher.com/podcast course, and you'll find it there. You can just go to the website. I'll also list that in the notes of the show.
What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on!